Christmas Day, as Chris Tomlin and We the Kingdom did that originally. We all sing, all you people, the Lord Almighty reigns. You know, sing every creature of God, come bless his name, you know, for he's good. He's good, isn't he? He was born to conquer the grave, light of the world. It's the reason for Christmas Day. Yeah, it's a good song. It's a very, very good song. You know, the birth of Jesus has inspired more music than any event in history. You know, from Beethoven to Bing, you know, from George Frederick Handel to Nat King Cole. I love Nat King Cole. Johann Sebastian Bach to Michael Stephen Bublé, you know. A lot of Christmas music. Now, I really like the song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, one of my favorites. I want you to turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor one of your favorite Christmas songs. Don't be shy. All right, I said one Christmas song. I didn't say sing it. I was like, yeah. I remember, this is several years ago, but I was watching the Thanksgiving parade on TV, and I was in the kitchen, and the rest of the family was in there. I mean, Cindy was in the kitchen, too. I'll be in trouble if I don't say that. But anyway, the grandkids were watching, and they were early grade school at the time. And one of the songs was Santa Baby. It was playing on one of the floats. And I look in, and let me say this up front. Terrible song, by the way. Materialistic, greed-oriented. It's everything that's wrong with Christmas. But the song's catchy, you know. It's just really catchy. And I look, and one of my grandkids, he's over there, and he's singing and dancing. And it's almost like he's choreographed everything. And then he realizes I'm watching him, and he stops, and he shrugs his shoulders at me, and he goes, "It's Christmas, Grandpa," you know. And I'll never forget that. Those are all precious moments. But we're continuing our series, Special Delivery, which I think is very fitting because the Christmas story is all about the most special delivery ever, the birth of the Messiah. And there are all these special deliveries associated with the birth of Jesus. We've got message after message when you read the account that are being delivered from heaven, angels. I mean, it's spectacular stuff. And announcing the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world. And I want to pick up today with the story where the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. And Scripture says this in Luke 1, says, "The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.'" So we've got this special delivery moment, and I think that Mary had to be shocked. In fact, I think initially when the angel delivered that news, it was not good news. It was not welcomed news. You understand that Mary was a young girl at the time. She's probably 14, maybe 15 years old. She was engaged, but she wasn't married yet, which meant that now she was an unwed, pregnant teenager. So when she heard this news, I think the fear would have been overwhelming for her. This was not a friendly culture for unwed, pregnant girls. It just wasn't. Joseph, her fiancé, it's surprising that he didn't reject her. We know that he had a special delivery, that he didn't break the engagement. He listened to the angel. But according to Torah, or the Jewish laws of that day, she could have been stoned. I mean, a woman who was pregnant before marriage, we know, faced all kinds of uncertainty in that day. And certainly, she was the subject of rumors, ugly gossip, speculation. Nazareth was a very, very small town, and this news about Mary, it would have traveled really fast. Luz, how many of you from small town? Yeah. I mean, small towns have always worked that way. Everybody finds out pretty quick what's happening. Mary is carrying the Messiah, the King of Kings. And if that had gotten known, that would have been very dangerous because of other kings. They wouldn't tolerate it. In fact, rivals for the throne often were dealt with very harshly. And if you know the story, that's exactly what happened. You know, when Mary found out she was pregnant with the Son of God, think about that. Put yourself in that spot. It had to be confusing. There had to be fear. You know, the fact is, it would have been a difficult situation, but we know that Mary magnified God in that moment. She completely surrendered herself and trusted God fully and completely. We're going to look at her response to this news. Again, shocking news. It's known as Mary's song. It's the first Christmas song about Jesus' birth. It contains some of the, what I believe are some of the most profound words that were ever written. And to think about her just sheer insight and wisdom, I think it goes unnoticed. I think we just kind of gloss over it. And what I hope today is that maybe as we hear this, we might internalize Mary's song, and it actually might become part of our song in life. You know, Mary, these are not just words that she's singing. They're not just some melody that's there. This is a song about how she lived life. You know, you listen to her response initially about what's taking place, and she says this in Luke 1:38. She says, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your words." And then the angel departed from her. Mary, first one to sing a Christmas song. That song is known as Magnifica. It's Latin for "My soul magnifies the Lord." And everybody here, you magnify something. You know, to magnify something means to give something a large place in your life. Your mind is drawn to it regularly. Your desires are impacted by it. Your values are formed by the things that you magnify. Your identity is tied up in it. You know, your joy and unhappiness are determined by whether you have more of whatever it is or less of it. Everyone here magnifies something. And I'm just curious, do you know what you magnify? What is it? You know, a workaholic, they magnify success. Worriers magnify problems. You know, people pleasers magnify people's opinions and approval. You know, some people magnify money or sex or security or power. We all magnify something. And so I want you to listen to this first part of her song. She says this, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Wow. "And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." The song, when you read the whole thing, I mean, it is filled with dozens of allusions to Old Testament scripture, which meant Mary had an extraordinary understanding and knowledge of Torah, Hebrew scriptures. In those days, people didn't have Bibles like we've got, or they didn't have books. I mean, the fact is, you could go down to the synagogue, and they might have scrolls, or they may just have it memorized. But most scholars believe that Mary memorized most of the Psalms, if not all of them. And she immersed her mind in God's word, and it's very evident as you read her story. You know, the coming of Jesus is magnificent. It's amazing. It's the most pivotal event in the history of the world. You know, it had been foretold by the prophets for centuries. People had anticipated the coming of the Messiah. I mean, how do you prepare for that? It's bigger and greater than you could ever imagine. It's bigger than any problem. It's bigger than any fear. You know, the coming of this Messiah, it is the most big, huge, gigantic event. Magnitude of it was understood by a teenage girl. She understood history was being redefined. You know, the most important person in that day, it was the Emperor of Rome, Caesar Augustus. I mean, he was the most powerful person on the planet. And if you don't know history, he's the adopted son of Julius Caesar, who they had declared as being divine. Caesar Augustus became known as the son of the divine one. Coins in that day that had Caesar Augustus on them, they had the phrase "son of God" on the coin. You know, when Caesar Augustus took the throne, he ended the battles, he ended the civil wars, he became known as the bringer of peace, the people's savior. Are you seeing some things here? It was the Pax Romana. It was brought by Caesar Augustus. His reign was declared good news. Mary, she would have been a child, and since early years, she would have known all this stuff. And so when the sky explodes with heavenly hosts on that night that Jesus was born, Luke very carefully records this special delivery. I think it was airmail, you know. It was delivered to the shepherds by angels in the sky. And it says this. He says, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy. For all the people, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." And then he kind of puts the exclamation point on it, and he gives us the song that the angels sing from heaven. You know, these are words that are fitting for a king. It says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Friends, it is no accident that precisely the same language that was being used on the Roman streets at that time is used about the Savior. Because the system, it's going to be overthrown. A way of life is about to be changed. You know, rulers' values are going to be redefined in this one. Because the real Son of God, the real Savior, The real Prince of Peace has come, and friends, that's the good news. That's really good news. You know, the shepherds, they receive this special delivery message. They immediately head to Bethlehem. And it says this in verse 16. It says, so they went with haste. That means they ran. And they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Goes on in verse 19 says, but Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. You have to remember, Luke is a historian when he's writing. He very carefully writes the account of what took place out in that field. And he's really making a point, if you take time to kind of dissect it, he's making a point, a distinction between people that are amazed at what the shepherd said, and then Mary. Mary, who treasured all the words, pondered them in her heart. And I used to read that and I would think, okay, so it's a reflective moment she's having, like a little bit like how you have mental pictures that you put in your mind and they bring a smile to your face. You think about them, you know you're going to think about them down the road, you know, the Hallmark moment. And so I used to think that was what was going on, but that is really not the idea being conveyed here. Luke uses very technical language, which I think we miss in translation, but he uses the language of describing what a prophet would do, where they would hear something, didn't make sense, but they were just obedient in it. And he uses the same words here, and he says, you know, Mary declared her trust in God right out of the gate. And so when the angel first appeared, when Gabriel spoke to her and informed her that she was going to have a baby, even though she didn't fully understand it, like a prophet, she embraced it and was obedient and going to trust God. Let it be according to your words. Do you hear that full surrender there? So when the shepherds, they share what the angel told them, Mary is already down the track with this. She realizes what God's up to. Mary is beginning to understand who Jesus is and what's going to come. Mary treasured these words. She pondered them in her heart. And I wonder today, what are you pondering? Where's your heart today? You know, what rests in it? Mary's song is more than a little religious tune. It's more than some simple words of harmless, you know, devotion to God. Friends, it's revolutionary. These words are going to shake up the whole world, shake up history. You know, a world where Caesar Augustus forced people to bow a knee to him. You know, forced people to bow a knee to Rome. You know, Herod the Great, who was over the district, you know, he became great. You know how? Taxing poor families like Mary's. You know, destroying them with the taxes. People were not happy in that day. There's political unrest. Mary, her words, they're language of protest in her song, if you read it. You know, she goes on in the song, verse 51, he's shown strength with his arms. He shattered the proud and the thought of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their throne. You know, rulers, they don't like songs like this. And lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich the powerful oppressors away empty. You know, those words are so poignant that we know in 1980, Guatemala, they said you cannot read the scripture. They considered this to be politically subversive. And I was thinking about, this is something sang by a teenage girl 2,000 years ago. And people go, "Whoa, no, can't sing that." I mean, these words were considered so powerful that an entire government said, "Can't read them, can't sing them." You know why? They were afraid of the effect it would have with people. People that were being oppressed in their lives would hear something that would spark a fire. We know that Jesus grew up. I mean, one day he would defy Herod and Pilate and the Sanhedrin. He'd defy appealing to Caesar. I was thinking about this. Who do you think taught Jesus that there's a God who can bring down human rulers? Well, it was Mary who magnified God. And I wonder, what is it you magnify? Because, friends, when you magnify God, you begin to see how big God is. How great God is, how good, how holy God is. You know, what is it you magnify? Because, friends, when you magnify God, when you begin to comprehend who God really is, it changes your outlook. It changes your outlook. When you magnify God, your problems look different. Your fears get smaller. Your worries get smaller. Your relational problems begin to shrink. You know, when you magnify God, even death loses its sting, as Paul would tell us. I mean, when you magnify the Lord, it changes absolutely everything in your life. Everything. How many of you like to sing? Don't be bashful. All right, now I need you to come up here and, you know. I love to sing. Not good at it, but I love to sing. And I've told you before, I'll be traveling. If I'm by myself, I crank the stereo up and I sing. And every once in a while, I'll be driving or I'll be sitting at a light and I realize somebody's watching me. It's awkward. It's really awkward in that moment. Because for me, I'm like, okay, who is it? Oh, thank goodness, they're not from Faith Fellowship, you know. But it's there. You know, I think I've shared this before. Every Sunday for years when my grandkids were smaller, they would come visit for the weekend and we'd get done with church and they would wait for me so they could ride home with me. And as soon as we got in the car, one of them would go, "Grandpa, we're going to sing, right? We're going to sing, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." And they're like, "Turn it up, turn it up." So, I mean, we got it blaring full blast. And they had their favorite songs that I would have to put on. And they would sing their hearts out all the way home. And I remember one time, Dason, he asked me, he said, "Grandpa, do you ever think you're going to get too old to sing?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm not planning on it, buddy." And he goes, "Well, you probably will get too old, but I will always sing, Grandpa." And friends, I hope he always does. I hope all my grandkids do. You know, I hope they sing when life is great and there's something to celebrate. And I hope they sing when the weight of the world is on their shoulders. I just want them to sing. I hope they never forget how to sing and praise and worship. Mary sang, and it was a song that she would sing her entire life. You know, I think God was pleased with that. And I think God knew that Mary would sing songs and that her son would hear it. In fact, I imagine Mary singing to Jesus when he was a baby. Child. I wonder if she didn't sing to him when he was a young adult. And Mary sang that song, the Magnificat. You know, she may have sang it in different ways, played with it a little bit, and like, oh, there's a catchy way. She may have changed the words. It came from that place she treasured, she pondered. It's that deepest place in her soul. And I am sure she told Jesus the story about his birth over and over, how Gabriel visited her and told her she was going to have a child and how confused she was. She didn't understand how it could be possible, that it seemed impossible. And Gabriel said, nothing's impossible with God, nothing. I imagine she talked about all those stories and how she knew that she would have difficult times. And she did, but she embraced them each time. You know, Luke records, here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your words. I imagine she told Jesus about all the special deliveries around his birth, the one she received, the one Joseph, the shepherds received, the special delivery of a star in the sky that the magi would receive. I imagine as she told those stories and sang her song, I'm imagining Jesus quietly listening. You know, I'm sure that Jesus began to understand what his mom had been through in her life. I wonder how many times when things were tough, challenging, or unclear, that Mary sat with Jesus and said, son, it's okay. God's always faithful. You know, if God ever asks you to do something really hard, just remember what I said. You know, when I was a young girl, you know, I was scared and afraid, and I just said, let it be to me according to your words. Jesus, please, always trust God no matter what. And God would ask Jesus to do something tough. I mean, years later, the Garden of Gethsemane, he's facing the reality that he's going to die. He's going to be nailed to a cross. You know, God asked him to take on the sins of the world, to die on that cross, to save the world. And Jesus prays, and I don't think this is a stretch here, something that I think resembles Mary's song. And he says, not my will, Father. Your will be done. I wouldn't be surprised if in that very moment he remembered his mom singing him those songs. How many times he heard that? Let it be to me according to your words. You wonder if he just had that moment where it's like, wow. Mom, I'm singing your song now. I'm going to glorify God like you did. Friends, here's my point. God wants your whole heart. Complete surrender. It is a life worth living. You know, it's a song worth singing. You know, for unto us, a child is born, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's why we sing. It's why we celebrate. It's why it's Christmas. And I do not know what God's asking you these days. But are you willing to respond like Mary? Here I am. I'm your servant. You know, let it be unto me according to your words. Whatever you want, God, I'll be faithful, I'll be obedient, and I will magnify you in my life through the good and the bad, whatever it is. I'll keep my focus on you. Friends, I don't know about you. That's the song I want to sing. That's what I want to sing with my life. Let that be your song this Christmas. Let it take you into the next year. It'll be a better year. Don't misunderstand me. I didn't say, oh, you won't have problems, you won't have chaos, you won't have struggles. It'll be a better year if you keep your focus there and say, okay, God, don't want to do this, don't like it, but according to your will, I'll work through it. Keep your focus on God. Christmas changes everything, doesn't it? It's the most hectic time of the year and the most wonderful time, because normally you take a minute or two and slow down and remember what it's really about. So, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. And God, we thank you that we can celebrate. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son to this world. And oh, did it change history. It changed everything. God, we just ask that you would help us stay focused on why we celebrate. It's about your son. It's about salvation. It's about a Savior that changed the world, but most importantly, changed our lives. God, we thank you for this day. God, help us to sing and to just celebrate it, to tell the story, to share it with the next generation and the next. God, we praise you this Christmas. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and celebrate, clap, celebrate, smile, you know. It's Christmas. It's Jesus' birthday, friends.